Hey there, sex fans. Welcome back. Today is Monday, August 9th, 2010, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge, with your host, that savagely scintillating sexologist, Dr. Dick. That would be me.
Hi, hon. How you doing?
Ooh, you look great. I love your hair. You have time for coffee?
Flattery will get you everywhere. So, do you remember several weeks ago when I interviewed John Woods and Cass King? They were in town to produce their stage production called Shine, a burlesque musical. I mean, how could you forget that, right? Well, about the same time, I began to follow the tweets of one of the cast members of that show. I became so jazzed by her and all the brilliant stuff she was doing that I decided to hit her up to be my guest for the Sex Education podcast series. But midway through our conversation, I realized that we are discussing erotic art as much as anything else, and that's when it comes to me that my guest, the exceptional burlesque talent, Jessie Bell Jones, fits equally well into my Erotic Mind podcast series, too.
I love watching your ass when you walk. Is that beautiful or what?
Now cut that out. I'm trying to work. So, not only is Jessie's appearance here today another wonderful twofer, she is also the very first guest in this series that creates her erotic art using the medium of her very own body. Hot damn! Jessie invites you into her world. Visit her on her troupe's site, stsinnerburlesque.com. Check her out at nakedgirlsreading.com. Or mosey on over to burleyconseattle.com to see what she's up to there. You'll also find Jessie on Twitter and Facebook.
I know we're not allowed to talk. Give me a call.
Well, if we're not allowed to talk, how can I call you? Today's podcast is once again brought to you by the granddaddies of male masturbation toys, the amazing Fleshlight and Fleshjack. For those of you who have never seen one of these brilliant devices, let me describe it to you. It looks like a huge flashlight, thus the very clever names, don't you know? Inside the durable plastic case, there is a soft, fleshy inside called Super Skin. And trust me, this stuff is aptly named. It's phenomenal. But that's just the beginning. What makes the Fleshlight and Fleshjack so freaking amazing is that you get to design and personalize just about every aspect of the unit you purchase. Now, what other toy company allows you to do that? And ladies, here's a tip. This is the perfect gift for your man. You know how I keep talking about the mutual joys and important information shared when a couple masturbates together, right? Well, this is the ideal masturbation toy for him. Check it out and see for yourself. I know you will agree, nothing beats a Fleshlight. Look for their banner in the sidebar of drdicksexadvice.com. You'll be so glad you did. Okay, on with the show. Jessie Bell Jones, welcome, and thank you for dropping by the veritable nerve center of drdicksexadvice.com. I'm so stoked that we finally have found this time to be together. Would you like to say hello to the nice people?
Hello, nice people.
And since this is the Sex Education podcast series, you know for certain that there is a load of big fat perverts out there too. So I guess you'd like to say hello to them as well, right?
Hello, big fat perverts.
Alrighty. So like I said, it is so good to finally connect to you. Holy cow, you are such a busy gal. Not only do you need a social secretary, but the demands of your career would leave a lesser woman an exhausted wreck. How do you do it? And tell me that you have a body double.
I wish I had a body double, especially after Shine, my body's been exhausted. But I feel like I've been busy since about the age of 14, and it's just a matter of learning to, I don't know, schedule really carefully and, right. And juggle time and try to sleep when one can. But remember that one can always sleep when one is dead.
That's right.
And then that's eternal rest,
mm-hmm.
as I recall from church vocabulary. So before we get started in earnest, I want to tell you right to your face that I loved you in Shine, the burlesque musical. What a great show. And as you know, that I interviewed John Woods and Cass King, the producers of the show, a few weeks back, and you guys were still in rehearsal then. Now that the show is closed and moved on to New York, I'd love for you to give us a cast's eye view of the production, if you will.
Absolutely. Yeah, I did hear that interview that you did with John and Cass.
Okay.
I loved it. And this is certainly a unique experience for me. I haven't been involved in a project like Shine before. Coming from a burlesque background, it was really refreshing and exciting to be involved in a musical that was written and directed by people who weren't me. So often in burlesque, we're designing our own costumes, our own choreography, our own everything. And it was so so exciting to see someone else's vision and to help be instrumental in realizing their vision. And knowing that as part of the cast, my individuality is present and there, but that really I was working with people to, mm-hmm. to execute something that was existing in somebody else's mind or in a collective mind. And it was really a wonderful experience.
Absolutely. And John and Cass are, all right, Ginger, sit down. Ginger the dog is here making wonderful sounds, but you have to sit down nice and quiet. That's a good, all the way down. Jin.
Good girl.
Oh, yeah. Now stay. Thank you. So John and Cass were so wonderful, and I love their stuff. And to see a show like that come together, that must be absolutely stunning, would you not say?
It was a really profound experience for me. The rehearsal process in some ways felt very long because I'm used to working in isolation, but in some ways felt like a whirlwind. We started rehearsing in mid to late May, and I feel like it was a lot to put together in that amount of time, and
mm-hmm.
it was wonderful, especially toward the end when we'd have these grueling 12-hour tech days, and everyone in the cast would be in the basement just kind of looking at each other like, I need coffee, do you need coffee, I need coffee so bad. It was a wonderful bonding experience.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like suffering together is...
Mm-hmm. Is
almost as rewarding as having this beautiful experience together. Mm-hmm. I don't remember if it was John or Cass who described the experience very much like, we're having a baby together,
mm-hmm.
right? And it had all of the joy and pain of that. And I'm happy to have been a part of that process.
Get fab reviews.
Yeah, too. I'm so happy about the press that we've been getting.
Holy cow, good for them.
Seattle's been so receptive to it, and just hearing the different reactions from the crowds on different evenings, what jokes would take, what the audience really identified with, what resonated with them.
Right.
It's wonderful to know that not only was it appreciated in Seattle, but appreciated in so many different ways,
mm-hmm.
whether it was humor or body politics or polypositivity.
Yeah.
It was wonderful seeing that reverberate.
I was delighted.
Thanks.
So let's see if we can list some of the other hats that you wear. You are the newest member of the Sinner Saint burlesque troupe.
I can very happily say that now I am the second newest member, but I'll talk about that in a minute.
Okay. You are associated with the Seattle chapter of Naked Girls Reading.
Yes.
And you are one of the organizers of BurleyCon.
I am.
All right. Did I miss anything?
Let's start with those.
Okay. If you don't mind, then, I'd like to flesh out, so to speak, these jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start with your position at Sinner Saint Burlesque. How long have you been doing that, and what does that entail exactly?
I have been I've been performing with Sinner Saint Burlesque since October of 2008, if I remember correctly, was my first guest performance. Actually, and it was a guest performance with the Wet Spots, if I remember correctly.
No kidding.
Yeah. But I've been a member of Sinner Saint Burlesque since early 2009.
Uh-huh.
I started guesting with them for a run. We all fell in love with each other, and I started performing regularly with them. I think in March of 2009, and I've loved it. Definitely one of the very best decisions I've ever made in burlesque was to join a troupe. The sort of sisterhood that's come out of that for me has
mm-hmm.
been so important and rewarding.
That is, it sounds like that, and I hear that from other performers as well. But while we're on that topic, I want to run something by you. The local burlesque scene has been getting a whole lot of press lately, and not all of it has been positive. There are some who insist that there is too much local color, or that the scene is being contaminated by a bunch of talentless fat chicks. And I hasten to add that I've only heard men make these kind of unfortunate critiques. I don't hear women saying anything so harsh. So let me ask you to weigh in on this. Is there too much burlesque in this town, and is there not enough of it that is good?
Well, there's a lot there to respond to.
Okay.
I think first I'll talk about how much burlesque there is in Seattle,
right,
and what the merits and drawbacks of this are. I mean, as a burlesque performer, I love burlesque. I want to see burlesque everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I would be okay if everyone in the world did burlesque in some capacity. However, I'm also it's also my job to do burlesque.
Mm-hmm.
The more performers I see in Seattle, the more saturated the market is.
Yes.
What I say is, there too much burlesque in Seattle? I would say that there is a lot right now, and that burlesque has enjoyed the luxury of becoming a more mainstream form of entertainment. It's less fringy than it was, and it seems like nearly everyone has either been to a burlesque show, or most venues have some sort of form of burlesque. Is this a bad thing? No, I wouldn't necessarily say so, but it does change the way that the scene works, the way it looks.
Right.
I mean, there are musicians all over, right? But we don't say there's too much music in Seattle.
Oh, absolutely.
Also, when we go see a bad musician, we don't walk away saying, gosh, music sucks. I saw this really bad musician once. Interesting that burlesque doesn't enjoy the same luxury.
Yeah. Or there was a fat musician one time,
you know,
that I saw.
Yeah, the body politics of burlesque and how people react to that it's really complicated and fascinating
mm-hmm.
issue. It's not, I think that speaking to the politics of that isn't my forte,
yeah,
but I certainly appreciate and love the way that burlesque does celebrate a variety of body types. I think that everyone is beautiful, everyone is sexy. I mean, anyone who saw Shine, I think, can feel the body politics of this community that
exactly.
I think that many people hold dear. Of course, I can't speak for everybody, but many people hold this very dear.
Right.
And as far as men versus women criticizing the burlesque community, I think that a lot of the press that the community may be getting recently is from men. But I've certainly heard some of these arguments from women as
mm-hmm.
well. Women who have judgments about their own bodies or about the bodies of performers that they're seeing, or women who are tired of seeing burlesque everywhere.
Right.
I think that while these male voices might be in the press right now, that there are certainly female critics of burlesque that exist in the world.
That's good to know.
Yeah. Well, kind of.
So I guess all of this is really dependent on what one defines as good. You know, I mean, what is good, you know? And to point out that, I suppose that there's room for all kinds of expression of sex-positive fun, from top-drawer, highly polished productions to the rough-and-tumble amateur nights, right?
Sure. Good is a really difficult question, because good can mean high production value. It can mean super entertaining but really grungy and kind
mm-hmm.
of thrown together. It can mean you know, terribly put on, but for some reason really touching to
right,
an audience
right,
member.
Right.
And what I love is art that affects me.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see, like all performance art, I want to see burlesque that is new to me and touches me in some way that makes me think about something. Now, that's not everybody's priority. Some people
right.
just want to see something really, really beautiful and
mm-hmm.
gorgeous and pretty
mm-hmm.
and walk away from that having this, you know, wonderful moment where they've had this fantasy of luxury and femininity.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody defines good differently
mm-hmm.
too, which makes it really hard to standardize what's quality in burlesque.
Right.
I certainly agree with what you said, though, about there being room for all tiers of entertainment
mm-hmm.
in this town. I think that it's important that as an art form, in order to grow, burlesque has to keep its downstairs open. People have to be continuing
right.
to be able to access the community in order
mm-hmm.
to improve.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think that not every audience member in Seattle wants to buy $30 tickets to a show. Sometimes people are interested in a cheap night out, and that can still be very good burlesque.
Mm-hmm.
It can be good art. It can be sexy, stimulating, well put together.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't need to be a huge, lavish
mm-hmm.
production.
Mm-hmm.
I think that smaller productions with smaller budgets can still be a wonderful experience, and that all
besides
of these different...
Just going and seeing a friend, you know, and cheering a friend on who is maybe making her or his first steps out, you know, in this venue. And it's not polished, it's not perfect, it's not, you know, terrific, but, you know, good for them. Knock yourself out and, you know, hooray, you know, that you have the balls to do that. Good for you.
I think actually one important thing that comes out of this diversity of tiers of performance
mm-hmm.
is that the audience know what it is they're looking at.
Mm-hmm.
I think that an audience member who goes to a $10 burlesque show at a nightclub and an audience member might turn around and go to a $30 burlesque show at a theater, and if they're expecting the same show, they're mistaken.
Yeah,
I think that diversity in the community means not only having different tiers of production value, but also having an audience that's aware of the fact that they're seeing different types of shows.
And your earlier comment about musicians here in Seattle and, you know, the Northwest in particular, that's apropos. I mean, it, you know, you see street musicians and you see, you know, concerts in, you know, Key Arena. So, and all of them, you know, we respect to some degree or another. We might say that one is less than the other, but at least we don't denigrate them like we tend to do, you know, with other kinds of performances like burlesque. So I want to get back to burlesque in a few minutes, but right now I want you to tell us a little bit more about what Naked Girls Reading is.
Naked Girls Reading. I have loved this project so much because, unlike so many things in my life, it is to describe it is so simple. Naked Girls Reading is naked girls. wait for it. Reading.
Get out.
No, really, that's as simple as it is, and actually that is a part of its humorous conception. Michelle Lamour and Frankie Vivid started Naked Girls Reading in March 2009 in Chicago. This
mm-hmm.
is a nationally occurring
uh-huh.
sort of an event. And
there's chapters then?
Yeah, there are
in
nine different cities, including
oh, cool.
New York, Madison, Boston, Dallas, Toronto, a lot of cities in
right.
the United States. And it's continuing to grow. It's really exciting. But they were having this conversation that, if I remember correctly, basically went, "This is so beautiful. You're reading naked. We should just charge people to watch this." And then there was the conversation of, "Well, that would be silly." And then they did it, and it was successful.
Uh-huh.
And then other people in other cities started doing it, and it was successful. And it's so fascinating. It's taken off so well in Seattle. And I think that Seattle's a great town for Naked Girls Reading. People are so sex positive and well educated here. I think that the community is hungry for something that is interesting, but erudite and sexy, but accessible. It's
right.
wonderful.
Right,
I'm
right.
really happy with the way it's being received here.
The first I heard about it was as part of the Seattle Erotic Art Festival. Were you involved in that particular?
Yes, I was involved in Naked Girls Reading's presence at the Seattle Erotic Arts Festival. We had a very unique experience there. We were so so used to our little home in West Hall that it was so exciting and overwhelming to be at the Seattle Center at the Arts Festival, having people wandering up and being in this beautiful, lush environment. It was also exciting. We were asked to read submissions to the literary competition
right,
there.
Right, yeah.
So it was really exciting to have a different pool of literature to draw
yeah.
from for that. So that was also a unique experience to the Arts Festival. But certainly the Seattle Erotic Arts Festival was a great place for people to discover Naked Girls Reading, people like yourself. I'm glad we were there and able to touch so many people.
Literally and figuratively. I was mentioning this to Clayton Hibbert when we had our chat, and I was saying to him that, you know, when are we finally going to have gender parity and have naked boys reading? That's what I want to know.
Actually, don't tell anyone. But we might actually have a naked boys reading in the mix.
Get out.
No, I think it was either last month or the month before was the first naked boys reading session in, oh goodness, I think it might have been New York. I feel like Johnny Pork Pie would be behind something like that. Don't quote me on that though. But we
just between you and
we,
me,
right? Right. But we do have plans for our Naked Boys reading event
in
the future. So I would certainly stay tuned for that. I'm really looking forward to it as well. Right. I don't think the girls should have all the fun. So.
Outstanding. Mm-hmm. So to get back to the burlesque theme, let's talk about BurleyCon. What is that exactly? And when is it?
BurleyCon. BurleyCon is a burlesque convention. It's an educational convention. It takes place in October. This will be its third year.
Here in town, yes?
Here in town, yes. And if I remember correctly, the 14th through the 17th mm-hmm. of October.
We'll have links on
yes,
the website.
Yes, there are links on the website. And BurleyCon is an educational burlesque convention that is a very unique chance for burlesque performers to come together internationally and share skills with each other, to connect with each other in a networking way, to teach each other about presence or rhinestoning, or just to have lunch together. And it's what's so unique about it is it's a purely educational experience. There's no competition. There are no performances. It is just an educational convention.
No,
so it takes place every year here in Seattle. And it's been such a beautiful chance for the community to really relax together, to commune, to share collective history.
That's what I was going to ask about, because there is an enormous and very rich and diverse history to burlesque, not just in America, but internationally. And so someone needs to be the keeper of that history. And the passer on of that history. So BurleyCon is for that purpose?
Well, I would say that BurleyCon is certainly for the purpose of sharing information, and and our collective history is part of that information. There's actually a Burlesque Hall of Fame Museum.
Get out!
Mm-hmm. Or rather, no, I will not get out. It's true. The rumors are true. The Burlesque Hall of Fame Museum exists in Las Vegas. This year was actually the 20th anniversary of what used to be called Miss Exotic World, which was a burlesque pageant and competition that takes place in Las Vegas. And the museum just recently changed locations. I believe it's on Fremont in Old Vegas now. So we do have a place to make a pilgrimage, if you will.
Right.
We do have a place where we physically store our collective memory.
Right.
So I think that Burlesque Hall of Fame is also a place where this historical aspect is shared. But certainly BurleyCon is a place where educational aspects of very practical things reigns. You know, if you have questions about how do I make beaded fringe, somebody from somewhere in the world who is an expert on this is probably teaching a class on it. If you want to learn more about chair dancing, there are dance classes. So it's a more practical educational convention, but certainly burlesque history classes are part of this. And we also feature a guest of honor every year who's been integral to burlesque history.
Mm-hmm.
This year, our guest of honor will be Dee Milo, and she was born in the 30s, and she was traveling internationally as a performer at clubs and USOs from 1949 all the way through 1964.
Wow.
So definitely a key part of burlesque history, and is able to speak and share her experiences, and it's a wonderful thing to have this event where so many of us are together and able to hear stories like this and able to share our experiences, both practical and personal and historical.
So you alluded to this just a moment ago. There's a load of workshops and panel discussions, right? So workshops on, dance, presentation, anything else that comes to mind?
Sure, absolutely. So we have workshops on things like costuming and dance and makeup, but we also have wonderful panel discussions, as you mentioned, that are so exciting and fruitful. We have topics like cultural appropriation, body image, boylesque, queer politics in the burlesque community, these sort of things.
Wow.
So these panel discussions are, they're educational in the sense that the discussion generated in them brings new information to light, but they're less instructive and more of a discussion, an open forum, than some of the other workshops that are there. They are so fruitful and often become somewhat heated. These are all very personal issues, and they're issues that we often have to tackle in isolation. So often the burlesque creation process is an individual
right.
one. It's amazing to see what happens when we come together. You know, we share information and things become exponentially more productive, but we also have to find ways to express our opinions to other
right.
people, opinions that we've been carrying with ourselves.
Right.
And it's a wonderful process
right.
to see this kind of intellectual growth in the community too.
So what I'm hearing is that burlesque has gone from like exotic dancing to something that back in the 40s and 50s, if not earlier, to something nowadays that is crossing all kinds of community and cultural boundaries, like a queer culture and feminism and all kinds of different things. Is that not right?
I would absolutely agree with that assessment. I mean, burlesque was born out of, how did they put it in Shine? They were strippers then, but they're not strippers now. But I mean, we are still peelers. It's the peel that unites us.
Right, good for you.
But no, certainly burlesque has enjoyed in its popularity the ability to expand and become parts of other communities of practice,
mm-hmm.
queer communities, kinky communities, feminist communities,
right.
performance art communities,
right.
dance communities
right.
that haven't otherwise embraced it. And
right.
it's wonderful to see that kind of diversity
I
happening.
Think that must be grand. So who can participate?
In burlesque?
Yeah.
Anyone.
At BurleyCon, can anyone
oh,
attend?
Okay. At BurleyCon, yes, anyone can attend. It's for performers, for fans, for aficionados.
No kidding.
Yeah, anyone's welcome to register. I think that whether you're a performer or not, there's a lot to be gained by attending BurleyCon if burlesque is something that you're passionate
right.
about. And we certainly know people in the community who aren't performers themselves, but that have this great passion for burlesque, and it's so wonderful to have them present for that.
Mm-hmm.
And for them to be absorbing this knowledge as we're absorbing it, it's a wonderful community-building event in that way.
I think Dr. Dick Sack's advice should go to BurleyCon.
I think so, too.
Outstanding. So let's turn our attention to you as a performer. How did you get interested in burlesque?
You know, I stumbled across burlesque. I mean, in every possible sense of the word, I had a friend who was in roller derby, and there was this birthday party that had a burlesque performer
no
at it.
Kidding.
I didn't even know what burlesque was, and I remember seeing this performance, and two very profound thoughts flashing into my head at the same time. The first being, what is this? They didn't stop doing this? I thought this was something they stopped doing in the 1940s.
Right.
You know, I thought it was a piece
right.
of antiquity.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it was alive and something that people still did. So
mm-hmm.
there was the, oh my God, I can't believe they're doing this. And then there was also the impulse of, that's me. I see myself. And
kidding.
So it was such an exciting experience for me to see. And I promptly, speaking of stumbling, cornered one of the performers in the bathroom and proceeded to demand that she tell me, where did you learn how to do this? I know how to do this. And I started giving her my dance credentials and telling her,
cool.
I have this performance experience, and realizing now that that poor person must have been so tired of hounding her in the bathroom. But stumbling in the poor social skills sense is exactly how I discovered burlesque. She very graciously answered my questions.
Oh, great.
I'm so grateful for the gentle way in which she handled my social awkwardness, and she directed me to Indigo Blues Academy. And
no kidding.
It took me a while to first work up the nerve and then work up the schedule to take
mm-hmm.
classes. I was in grad school at the time. And I guess the rest, as they say, is history.
Mm. Is Jessie Bell Jones your stage name? And if so, how did you hit upon that name?
Jessie Bell Jones is my stage name, and it is a name designed with many things in mind. I chose Jessie because it's a gender-neutral first
mm-hmm.
name. More than a couple of my acts now involve gender play and drag of some degree
really?
Or another. Yeah,
oh, cool.
I'm really fascinated with gender as something that we do rather than something that we have. So so it was important to me to have gender flexibility in my name. Jessie Bell is a maybe obvious reference to Jezebel,
uh-huh.
a biblical character who I think was a brilliant politician
mm-hmm.
and was in the unfortunate position of being a woman. I think that Of all the dirty politicians in the Bible, she was just another dirty politician.
Yeah.
But the whole defenestration thing, you know, came about, I think, more or less because of the fact that people were having trouble with this politician who happened to be a woman. Not being a religious person myself, I hope that people who have pre-existing ideas about Jezebel don't take my interpretation as a negation of their own beliefs, but that's how I feel about her, so it's a tribute. And then I also, I had a partner that I was considering marrying once who told me that I couldn't hyphenate my last name because it would confuse our children. So I decided to give Jezebel Jones a hyphenated last name.
You go. What are your favorite aspects of burlesque now that you're a star?
Star. My favorite aspects of burlesque. I like the 5-minute journey. And what I mean by that is I love working and designing and choreographing and rehearsing this thing that for a few minutes of my life becomes for me and for my audience an experience that wouldn't happen in our day-to-day lives. I love the fantasy. I mean, this could be called escapism, but I'd like to consider it more the gift of being able to feel the world in a different skin for a few minutes. I like being able to design this situation, this person, this aesthetic, and to bring it into actuality, to make a physical experience for myself and for the audience that we can share for a few minutes. I think it's a really magical gift both to me and hopefully something that I'm giving to the people who are watching.
And it must be somewhat liberating to be able to become this stage persona who is not really you but is you, and you know, free yourself up to do this thing that you know you really couldn't do necessarily, like walking down the street.
Absolutely, yes. I mean, as I was sort of hinting at earlier, I think a lot about identity as being performative.
Mm-hmm.
So when we're performing things in burlesque or otherwise, I think that we're extending our identities. We're incorporating these fantasies into who we are.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just because something comes from you, in the sense that you've created this art piece, doesn't mean that it doesn't also, in turn, inform
right.
who you are or who
exactly.
you become. So it's a really, I think, powerful and profound personal mm-hmm. experience to be able to think of these vignettes, bring them into fruition, and then watch them affect you in turn. Yeah, definitely. The formation of identity is a really powerful part of the process for me, too.
So I'm just looking at my clock, and I see that our time is up for today.
Okay.
But it breaks my heart that we didn't get all this stuff done. May I ask you to come back next week?
A second date?
We would get second base, even. All right, will you come back next week?
I would love to.
Oh, you're such a sweetheart doll baby. But before we go, could you give us your website address or one of the addresses and walk us around a little bit and let us know what we can find there?
Sure. I would direct people to different websites depending on what they were interested in hearing about. The Burlicon website is up and running right now. If anybody felt things that made them want to register for that, I would definitely encourage them to get on that. But the Burlicon website is a great place to look around to see what classes are being
cool.
offered, where this is taking place, who's going to be there, what has the event looked like in the past.
Right.
NakedGirlsReading.com is a place where you can go check out not only the Seattle cast, reading lists and blogs. We blog about the things that we read naked, but also looking at different cities and what's going on nationally with Naked Girls Reading. SinnerSaintBurlesque.com is my troupe's website. If you want to learn more about each of us as performers, read a brief bio, learn about where we're going, what sort of performances we're doing outside of our weekly show, The Knock Knock, I would suggest going to that website.
Cool thing.
Yeah.
So until we meet again next week, we're going to be investigating all of those sites, I promise.
Oh, wonderful.
So good. Until next week, be well, and we'll be seeing you in cyberspace.
Thank you, likewise.
Hey, what a fantastic show, huh? Well, tune in next week for part two of my interview with Jesse Bell Jones and more sex advice with an edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick.
I don't want you for your conversation.
So it's all about the body then, huh? Again, this week's podcast sponsor is the fabulous Fleshlight and Fleshjack. Say, guys, have you been looking for the perfect gift for yourself? A gift that will give you hours of fun and pleasure and never run out of batteries? Well, I have just the thing for you. Once you've tried a Fleshlight, you'll never settle for second best. You know, all you guys out there who keep complaining to me about your short fuse, well, here's a tip. Being a great lover, being able to control your orgasmic response and last for as long as you'd like, takes practice. Sure, you can learn to last longer simply by using your hand, but now there's an even more effective way to train yourself for sexual stamina and endurance with a partner.
Oh, marvelous. Thanks so much.
Allow me to introduce you to the Endurance Jack. It's just one of the fine designs from Fleshlight. It comes with a stamina insert, which has extra large bumps and a tight canal. With just a little practice, this puppy will help you last longer, gain control over your ejaculatory response, and avoid untimely climax. Once you've accomplished this with the Endurance Jack, you'll have all the skills that you need to last and last with a partner. And remember, these fine products are made in the good old US of A. Look for the Fleshjack banner right there in the sidebar of DrDickSexAdvice.com.
What about my tits?
Well, they're lovely in the extreme. Listen, one final thing. I want to take a moment to invite you to check out my product review site, DrDickSexToyReviews.com. That's right, sex fans. Now you can see what's hot and what's not in adult products. You'll find reviews of all sorts of adult goodies, sex toys for sure, but also condoms, lubes, fetish gear, herbal products, as well as educational and enrichment videos. Don't miss a single one. Again, the address is DrDickSexToyReviews.com. And look for all of my podcasts on iTunes. You'll find me in the podcast section under Health, subcategory Sexuality, or just search for Dr. Dick's Sex Advice. Don't forget to subscribe and feel free to leave a comment when you do. Until next week, remember, sex is good. And good sex? Why, that's even better. Over and out.